16, which St. David says, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his bounty to me?" And his response is, "I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." And this psalm prompts me always to consider all the gifts that God has given me, given us, before we were even formed, the world that he created for us, the beauty of the sea and the stars, the mountains, all the animal life upon the earth, and beyond the creation, his saving acts, the incarnation, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection, the ascension, the glorious second coming, as we hear in the liturgy of St. John Chrysostom and are reminded of every Sunday. We quickly realize in all of this that in a sense we have nothing to offer that can repay God for his bounty to us, his blessing to us, his many gifts. And so apropos David's question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his bounty to me? St. Gregory Palamas says, when David, having reflected on the matter, saw everything that he had received and everything given to those who went before him, he understood that the benefits bestowed by God are immeasurable, and that whereas these really are bounties from God for us, the things men offer to God are nothing in comparison. And so what does St. David offer in response? He says, "I will offer to him the sacrifice of thanksgiving." Our thanksgiving is the song of praise, the glory we offer to God in worship. It's our willingness to obediently struggle to live out our life in Christ and prioritize that life above all the temporal preoccupations that otherwise demand our time, our energy, and focus. It's also our willingness to come outside of ourselves, to serve him and his church, to build up the body of Christ, to witness to his truth and salvation in the world around us, the people around us. But how hard it is for us to have this attitude of thanksgiving and service when our focus is on ourselves, our own problems, or if we're consumed with our preoccupations in the world, our work, or our desire for gain, for worldly pursuits, at the expense of our worship and life in Christ, who alone is life. It's very difficult because this is what all of the society and the culture around us is pursuing. These are the things that we are naturally attracted to. But these distractions, the reality of them, is that they keep us from our focus on Christ. And they make it next to impossible for us to cultivate the kind of thankful spirit that we see in King David. Because if we're focused on all of these other mundane things, we're going to be nervous. We're going to be stressed. We're going to be anxious. Because we've lost our focus on Christ and what this life is really about. Part of this, in an inverted way, in a general category, we call this pride. Pride so easily gets in the way. It makes us focus on ego. That's what pride is, on ourselves. So that we make excuses when it comes to offering up even the minimum that we can give God in return for his inexplicable graciousness to us sinners. We can perhaps more easily see the tangible and material benefits of our time spent at work, pursuing some hobby, chores at home, which are endless, or taking care of any other myriad of problems that we all have, and we all have to deal with in the world. Progress in our spiritual lives, in really making efforts, is much more difficult to touch. In today's gospel, the disciples can't understand why they cannot cast out the demon. Christ tells them directly, because of your unbelief. "For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Likewise, in our own life, our own lives, there may be some mountain, some impediment in the way of our living a more joyous and full life in Christ. So ask yourself, is there anything that is holding me back from putting Christ and His church first in my life? The worship of the church, our service to the body, and then to the world, are coming outside of ourselves to offer our sacrifice of thanksgiving, to lift up the cup of salvation in our hearts, to participate more fully in the sacramental life of Christ in our day-to-day lives, is the means of our further growth in Christ and the removal of those mountains that come between us and God. So as my son is being dragged away and told he cannot play with the icon, it's okay if he's holding it as long as he's not putting it down. But let me try to repeat this again, because this is an important piece of the truth that's given to us today. These impediments, these mountains in our lives that keep us from giving God the glory that He is due, that we need to give Him in order to grow, is really impossible to come by if we're not putting Christ day to day first in our lives. That means coming before God in prayer. It means making a priority of our worship to God, the opportunities that we have for that. Because otherwise, we can't grow in faith. Otherwise, we become bogged down in all of the vices that we see around us and that we ourselves are tempted with. We can't make spiritual progress. Increase in faith begins with a desire for more faith, praying for more faith. And this is the irony that seems so simple and yet is so difficult, that in order to pray, we have to pray. In order to get the most out of fasting, we have to begin to fast. That doesn't mean make us experts at the beginning, because we never arrive. It means that we have the means for continued growth further up and further in the life that only is in Christ. Now, coming to church on a weekly basis, that's a first step. That's a great step. But it alone isn't enough to counter the culture's influence on us. We don't live in an Orthodox culture, in an Orthodox world. When I go back to Romania, I'm constantly surrounded by churches, by the sign of the cross, by icons, by people crossing themselves, by references everywhere to the faith. Not so here. It's much more difficult for us. And so all the more reason that we really have to see the big church, capital C, but also the small church, as an oasis, as a place we come for refreshment for our souls, so that we can go back out into the world that doesn't know Christ, and we can offer them something from ourselves. We can truly be Christ's light and salt wherever we are, at the academy, at work, at school, at home, in the grocery store, wherever we happen to be. So for this reason, we need to take advantage of other reminders of Christ throughout the week, not neglecting our fellowship with one another, praying daily, coming to Bible study or daily vespers, which will begin again this fall, great vespers on Saturdays, staying for trapeza on Sundays after liturgy whenever possible, just to have some Christian fellowship in the week, preparing more fervently to receive the sacraments. Christ God can work through this and many other things that I don't have time to give you examples for. The church, though, can never just be about what's here for me. If we want the church to make things comfortable for us and do as we bid, serving us only, then we've missed the mark. We've missed what it's really about and what we're created for. It is we who serve and build up each other. We are responsible for building up the church. In our Orthodox worship, as in our Orthodox understanding of salvation, it's necessary for us to be willing to come outside of ourselves to serve, to grow. Because there's no other way that is the means that you and I become more and more like Christ. Because this is how Christ is. The worship of the church guides us in this way, in fact, to come outside of ourselves and use all of ourselves in worship. We use all of our senses. We see the gilded icons, the beautiful vestments reflective of pointing us toward the kingdom of heaven and the dignity of the priesthood. We smell the incense, the sweetness of the kingdom of God in our midst, the life that's only in Him. We hear the music and the song of praise from our lips, those of our brethren in Christ. We hear the truth of God's word spoken through the holy tradition of the church, liturgy, scripture, hymnody. We cross ourselves, we touch and kiss the icons, the cross, and foremost, we take Christ, the medicine of immortality, inside of ourselves. We taste and see that the Lord is good. Our coming outside of ourselves in worship is a paradigm, then, for our coming outside of ourselves to serve one another and witness in the world around us. The majority of people come to Orthodoxy in this country through word of mouth, by being invited by an Orthodox Christian to come. We need to think about that in our own church. That has not been the case in our church. We can do more. The less time we give to God in worship, both in and outside the church, the less that we'll benefit from it. But the reverse is also true. The more we strive to worship, to give of ourselves to God, the more we avail ourselves of opportunities to have our strength, our faith strengthened, and our focus on God renewed, the more we serve, the more we reap the benefits of our lives, in our lives, of that which Christ would give us. And the more that we help others to find their healing and salvation as well. The more we partake of the medicine of the spiritual hospital of the church, the more we heal and grow and make it possible for others to do the same. So back to our question, what shall I render to the Lord? Whatever you and I manage to offer God in His great love and mercy for us, He has given us and will give us so much more in return. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Him forever.